Chicken and Pickle is your headquarters for family fun. Located at 2965 South State Highway 161 in Epic Central, Chicken and Pickle offers fun and friendly competition on our pickleball courts, outdoor yard games, and plenty of space to kick back and relax with your favorite peeps. Known for our chef-driven restaurant serving wood-fired rotisserie chicken, pulled pork, and grass-fed beef sandwiches, hand-cut fries, tasty tots, and more, there's something for everyone in our nest. Plus, cold beer and seasonal cocktails make every hour a happy hour. There's no better place to enjoy good food, good friends, and great fun than at Chicken and Pickle, 2965 South State Highway 161 in Epic Central.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
Under fake conservatives, as you all have been hearing and as you all know, especially those of you in the state of Texas, under fake conservatives, the last legislative session was the most pro-socialist, pro-communist, pro-democrat session in recent memory. And a lot of good conservative bills paid the price for the intransigence, the basic love affair that these so-called Republicans have with Democrats. Now, I have stated unequivocally that the only person who has an excuse for behaving as a pro-Democrat is Speaker Dade Phelan. He was elected and holds onto power because of Democrats, so he's got to do their bidding. The other 60 Republicans who voted for the fake and illegal impeachment, the 23 Republicans who voted against parental school choice, they have no excuse. They were elected by their voters as conservatives, and they betrayed their voters. They betrayed the entire reason they were there. They were there to represent Republican / conservative values, and they betrayed us all. So not that I don't want to be misunderstood that I'm giving some sort of an excuse to Dade Phelan for being a Republican who basically caters to Democrats. I'm not. I'm just saying that he owes his power to Democrats and Republicans, and thus one can see why he'd want to deliver for Democrats. As a matter of fact, I think more Democrats support Dade Phelan than do Republicans. Not by the official vote, because you can't get anything done if you vote against the speaker of the incoming speaker if he has enough Democrat votes. So if you want to get anything done and have any of your legislation even be considered, you have to hold your nose and vote for that speaker. That's the game that's played. And a lot of people don't want to play this game anymore. I sure as hell don't. Neither does Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
I'm tired of the dysfunction of the House in passing legislation to us in a timely manner. And I'm tired of these points of orders that are called on good legislation like the virtual school bill. I'm tired of it. I have begged and pleaded with the House every session, send me your legislation sooner. This session, once again, we received 1,250 bills with about three to 3.5 weeks to go.
That's all designed to kill those bills. The Texas House Republicans collude with socialists and Marxists to kill bills that the socialists and Marxists don't want passed, conservative bills. Republicans collude to defeat conservatives in the leadership in the Texas House. This is what they do. And they collude and they screw off and they go on vacations and they don't get to work like the Texas Senate did. So, and it's all designed to basically give their constituents the middle finger. Yes, you all elected Republicans, but these Republicans all work at the behest of Democrats. One of the pieces of legislation that failed was a piece of legislation that would have prohibited government from forcing you to put something into your body that you don't want to. Brian Harrison was the representative of the 10th District who was championing this. And this is what he said on Twitter. Since the Texas House chose to allow Texans to be forced to take a China virus vaccine, he calls it the COVID vaccine, or be fired, I will continue to file the Texas COVID Vaccine Freedom Act every special session, even if the governor does not add it to the call. Medical freedom is worth fighting for, he says. And he put out a statement today, the first day of bill filing for the first special session of the Texas 88th legislature. Representative Brian Harrison reintroduced the Texas COVID Vaccine Freedom Act to comprehensively ban all COVID-19 vaccine mandates in Texas. The Texas House of Representatives during the regular session failed to bring to the floor a single bill to ban all of the COVID-19 mandates in the state of Texas. Folks, I would have refined this further. I mean, he's casting a very narrow net. COVID-19, this particular China virus, right? But I think we ought to be a little more broad-minded about this, saying it is not the government's role to use our population as guinea pigs. Folks, the facts remain that the China virus vaccines had no 1, 3, 5, or 10-year testing, and it was being mandated in certain circles. It was never intended by President Trump to be mandated. It was there for you to weigh the costs and the benefits and to take it if you wanted it. But so many things were improper about how the China virus pandemic was handled, in particular the way government handled it. And what Brian Harrison is trying to do is lay the groundwork to sit there and say, look, the people of Texas and the American people ought not be your guinea pigs for Big Pharma. And they ought not be served up like guinea pigs by their elected leaders with, frankly, untested, untime-tested vaccines. And no matter what anyone tells you, these vaccines had no 1, 3, 5, or 10-year studies when they were rolled out. That's a fact. We talk with somebody who's been on the front lines of vaccine freedom, meaning freedom from government coercion, next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plan. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
Folks, want to bring on our guest, Michelle Evans, a fierce advocate for families and freedom in the state of Texas. As the legislative director for Texans for Vaccine Choice, she fights tirelessly at the Capitol to protect and advocate medical liberty. Michelle, glad to know you. Welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I guess we have to start a session, don't we? I mean, Brian Harrison, who has been, Representative Brian Harrison, 10th District, he has been a stalwart champion for trying to curtail government's power to be able to tell us what to inject into our bodies. And of course, the Texas House behaving the way it has behaved killed that. So your reaction?
It's really quite a failure. And a shocking one at that, because this session looked very promising going forward for medical liberty because of the lessons we had learned from COVID, because we had such champions like Representative Brian Harrison and Senator Mays Middleton who are willing to put this issue in the forefront and really pursue this bill all the way through final passage. Unfortunately, it was like so many bills this session and last, slow walked to its death. It ran out of time at the very last minute on the very last day that bills were eligible to pass in the House.
Was it chubbed or was it procedural? What do they call that when they, I'm sorry, you forgot the E on the word the. What do they call that?
The point of order.
Point of order, yes. Was it point of ordered out of existence or was it chubbed in collusion with the pro-Democrat Republican leadership and the Democrats?
It was essentially, once it reached the calendars committee, which took long enough itself, it was sat on for a week, and it wasn't put on the calendar until the very last day of eligibility on page, I think it was 10 of a 13-page calendar, with a lot of other high-profile controversial bills right before and after it, such as the Ten Commandments bill. So it was a target, one of many targets that day for Democrats to chub, and they were chubbing and point of ordering quite a few other bills, and eventually it just, there just wasn't enough time.
Is it your opinion, is it your opinion that the Texas GOP leadership, in collusion with the Socialists and the Democrat Party, they really want to preserve the right for government to force stuff into your body you may not want to have in your body?
I think that they thought that they were doing us a favor by passing Senate Bill 29, which really got butchered on the House side. And that was Lieutenant Dan Patrick's priority COVID mandate ban bill. And the House, without any objection from anybody on the floor, House Democrats added exception after exception after exception. It was just such a milquetoast approach to preserving vaccine choice in Texas. The Democrats were very dogged in their attempts to weaken the bill, and ultimately that's all we got out of this session as far as COVID mandates are concerned, or protecting us from COVID mandates. I'm not sure. It seemed like the tenor of the House GOP was really in favor of getting past COVID, acknowledging that there were so many wrongs done, and putting into law that we could no longer mandate vaccines or masks or anything of the sort to mitigate the spread of COVID, either from government entities or from private entities. But ultimately, all we got was protection from the government.
Right. And, you know, so, and again, the motivation, I'm sure you talked to some of these leftists. I'm sure that some of these anti-freedom, pro-government, pro-force, terrible and awful people have said to you the reasons why they want to defeat your bill that promotes choice. Have they told you why?
It's the same talking points that we've been encountering for the last 3 or so years. You know, if you want to save your grandmother's life, if you want to protect small children, you know, these this low-hanging fruit that they constantly bat at with the sympathy, the compassion, you know, this false sense of security from having the possibility of mandating a vaccine or a mask on Texans.
Right. And again, when you bring up, by the way, folks, Michelle Evans is our guest right now, the legislative director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. When you bring up the fact that, hey, wouldn't you like to have, I don't know, some data and some at least a 1 year, but maybe even better, maybe a 3 year, a 5 year, a 10 year study before you put something in your arm and in your children's arms? Wouldn't you like to have that? What do they say in response?
There's such a disconnect between science and reality for them, or, you know, their philosophy on this and reality. We had Democrats on the floor saying, like, you know, the first time I got COVID, but I'm, you know, vaxxed and boosted, and vaccines saved so many lives. Masking saved so many lives. So they're still very entrenched in this idea that Big Pharma is going to save us from everything and anything, when the data, all the data points to how these mandates were detrimental, how the vaccine rollout was ultimately done in such a roughshod, quick manner that we've actually put more lives at risk by putting them in the arms of babies and the elderly. I think today I read a story about the actor Jamie Foxx, who someone has sources said that he has permanent brain damage from a blood clot after his COVID-19 vaccine. that's just one of so many examples of where we went wrong.
Well, I've got to say that as we've examined the vaccines, the therapeutics, and how we've handled things, for the and the other so-called prescriptions for the pandemic, the very idea that we would quarantine the healthy to protect the vulnerable, it's something the country had never done before. And it seemed to me the Democrats said, this is great. We actually convinced through fear and threats and intimidation, we achieved control over these people. So watch this. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to force something into their arms and tell them that they don't do it, they're killing grandma. They don't do that, they're killing their kids. Even though the scientific data shows, for example, that no child without severe comorbidities was ever at risk of being hospitalized or having serious ramifications or death. Statistically, it was an anomaly for a child to be under threat from the China virus, but it didn't stop them from lying their asses off. Sorry, they just did. Lying their asses off anyway to implement control.
And there's a couple of other factors here, too. The fact that, you know, once the vaccine received emergency authorization, that shut out all conversation about alternative treatments being made readily available to the public. Things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies. And then on top of that, you have an attorney general in the state of Texas who was willing to take Big Pharma to task and say, you potentially committed fraud. And this was recently announced that he was going to take on Moderna and Pfizer.
Well, he broke that news on the Chris Salcedo show on Newsmax.
Oh,
ours was the first. Yes, ours was the first television to bring program to bring him on when he announced that. And I guess you actually took me right where I wanted to go, because do you think that was part of the reason why so many air quotes Republicans voted to impeach him? One of the many reasons, because some people in Big Pharma got very uncomfortable with where he was looking.
I wish I could read the tea leaves when it comes to that impeachment. I think it took me by as much surprise as it took most people.
Mm-hmm.
It was truly a disappointing moment, not because I think Ken Paxton is an infallible human being, but because of the work that he had been doing to protect Texans from federal overreach, to protect Texans from fraudulent marketing and science on the part of these vaccine manufacturers. He was the one thing standing in between Texas and the Biden administration, which has been doing its damnedest to control us. So I think that we had such a great opportunity to, you know, pick up where the legislature failed to leave off, and just like they did the session before when Brian Harrison filed the same bill, which was, I mean, it's fundamentally such a wonderful bill and such a good foundation for us to build off of, because it enshrines informed consent into Texas law and says basically with regard to COVID vaccines, you cannot put somebody in a position where they have to choose between their livelihood and the vaccine. So nobody can be under duress or undue influence.
Well, I worked at a company that was showing 30-year employees the door because they didn't take the jab. And I cannot say enough that it's none of the company's business. As to what your medical concerns are, at least heretofore it hasn't been, and it's certainly not the government's. Michelle Evans is our guest right now, folks. She is the legislative director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. Let me play devil's advocate with you, because as you and I both know, there are vaccines out there that have been tried, tested, and have been of benefit to our planet and to our country. Isn't there a line that conservatives can draw between tested, proven, data-driven vaccines, as opposed to vaccines that are basically using an entire population as guinea pigs?
At the end of the day, every medical procedure comes with risks, and you have to make that decision for yourself. A family like mine has experienced adverse events from various vaccines, from the more tried and tested to, you know, maybe some that were less so. And so ultimately, I had to make that decision on behalf of my children to avoid any further injury to them. So there's not a one size fits all with any type of medicine, with any type of pharmaceutical, biologic, any of that. So to say that there is, an opening for mandates for certain vaccines over others, I think is a dangerous slope there.
Well, yes. And so then what about, because I'm sure the left wing has asked you about this. These vaccine mandates for kids to be in school because school is mandated. School is compulsory in the United States. And if your kids are going to be forced to go to the GovEd school, you can't have other kids there who are infecting them potentially.
Well, we're quite fortunate in the state of Texas in that we have three types of exemptions. So technically no vaccines are required for public school entry. You can exempt yourself out by presenting an affidavit that's signed and notarized. So mm-hmm. you can do that for reasons of conscience, active military, or medical contraindications. So we have long-standing precedent for supporting individual choice with regard to vaccines. And we recognize that this is a very personal, private medical decision. And I think less than 2% of Texas public school children exempt themselves from vaccines that are listed or recommended by our legislature for public school enrollment.
Understood. So do you have high hopes for a special session, maybe resurrecting this bill?
I try to be as optimistic as I can. I think that it's going to take us combating the narrative that mandates were banned in Texas. They weren't. The most egregious type of mandates were never banned in Texas, and those were the private employer mandates. They're still alive and well. Representative Harrison was recently on an interview and told the reporter, you know, if you go to your channel's website, it says that they are still mandating the COVID vaccine. So I think it's going to take us getting the message through to the governor that SB 29 was not enough. There are still a lot of Texans who have been left vulnerable to COVID vaccine mandates.
Yeah. And so you don't have high hopes.
I think I've got a reasonable amount of hope. I think it's a logical amount of hope. I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket, but I think that Brian Harrison has such a good reasoned approach to this. It's not, you know, a broad, never be able to mandate anything, you know, any upcoming pandemic. I personally wish we would do that, but I think that he's found a much more tempered approach to the matter. And I think that his relentless fight is really picking up steam.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, I think that human liberty has to be a major consideration. And this idea, and I think it goes back to where you and I were discussing the fact that we were actually quarantining the healthy to protect mm-hmm. the vulnerable, which makes no scientific sense. And it makes no sense at all for the well-being of freedom and liberty. And I think that there's got to be a happy medium where we all prize public health and also prize liberty. Yes?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, recognizing this right to choose will also start to heal the broken trust between the public and public health authorities.
Yep.
Because right now we have zero trust in them. Fauci has really ruined that relationship across the country, but especially in a liberty-loving state like Texas.
Then there's that. Michelle Evans, everybody. She is she's the legislative director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. If folks want to join your fight, where can they go?
Go to texansforvaccinechoice.com and go ahead and sign up for our email newsletter. You'll get an email once a week with a summary of what we've done and ways to get involved and ways to interact with our staff at speaking events. So that's the easiest way.
All right, lady. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
You know, you can't go wrong with liberty. Can't go wrong with freedom. Yes, and that's why I have the moniker Liberty Loving Latino. That happens to be my persuasion, if you will. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me a favor, kids, visit a couple of websites. The first one, TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. Always new, interesting, enterprising journalism there. They will keep you informed about what's happening in Texas and beyond. Also check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Simulcast with TNT Radio worldwide. Also, the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax TV every afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. While you're there at ChrisSalcedo.com, you can also check out all of our social media hookups. There are plenty to choose from. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government. It's measured by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.